you list the areas of the world where America is in retreat and alternate superpowers are in the ascendant. Why don't you begin there?
Yeah, the salient point that I wanted to make was that by both weakening our store of military resources that we can draw on, for example, for the past 10, 15 years or more under Bush and under Obama, and it was expressed first by Bob Gates when he was Secretary of Defense, we've gradually drawn back, and instead of fighting two wars on two fronts, which we always used to be prepared for, given the experience of World War II, that makes sense. We then said, well, we'll fight a war and a half, and now it's really the idea is to fight one war and sort of hold on the other front. But we can't even fight the one war, actually. We wouldn't be able to fight one major war. We're not equipped for that. And so in lessening our store of military, our back bench, our second line, third line of military resources, we have emboldened various powers, namely, particularly Russia, which has come back in a military sense and is coming back rapidly, and China, of course, and so that in the world to come, that's in store for us very soon, and you can see it developing now. Instead of being one power or even two, as in the Cold War, we'll have at least three, with perturbations on the periphery from, for example, the Islamists and whatever country might arise with nuclear weapons. Even North Korea, it's a little country, et cetera, but it will have ICBMs capable of reaching the United States, and if we don't have missile defense, it's a threat to us. So you have a fluid system where there are lots of powers, as before World War I, and even before World War II. It's a change in the international system. And what happens then is that no single power has the ability to discipline its allies. As in World War I, when Wilhelmine Germany couldn't discipline Austria, which invaded Serbia, even though Serbia had capitulated completely, nonetheless Austria invaded it, and it precipitated World War I, and you had all these complex alliances, and then there was this catastrophic first world war that ever was.
You speak here about the staggering decline of the U.S. Navy. We have the smallest U.S. fleet, you write, since 1916.
Yeah. And we have the oldest Air Force ever. You know, people are flying B-52s that their grandfathers flew. But I wanted to make the point that the international system is changing in such a way that the large powers won't be able to discipline their allies. Their allies will migrate from block to block, and there will be the kind of chaos that was before the First World War, which greatly increases the probabilities of war, which we will not be able to face with the same confidence that we used to. And one example, Dennis, that I could bring up is the question of nuclear power. We have neglected our nuclear deterrent because we think that it would be safer and better if we move toward a world without nuclear weapons. Ideally, that would be so, except for the fact that you can hide enough nuclear warheads in a small-sized house to wipe out the entire United States. So the question is, would we trust that Russia or China would not do this and therefore abolish our nuclear weapons if they were to promise to abolish theirs, or that a power like Iran wouldn't rise with nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them. So really, unfortunately, they can't be put back in the box. And meanwhile, what we rely upon is reducing them towards what's called nuclear sufficiency. Nuclear sufficiency is the minimum you need to make your opponent feel that he can't attack you. So this government, Obama administration, believes in nuclear sufficiency. But the problem with nuclear sufficiency is that we don't define what the other guy thinks is enough to deter him. He does. And there's a different nuclear doctrine for each country. Some of them have much lower thresholds than we do. Russia does. Russia thinks of nuclear weapons as almost like just a regular bomb or cannon. God knows what Iran's is. And China's is also much less. Mao Zedong said, oh, we'll take 50 million casualties, no problem.
Do you like what you've just heard? If so, please consider subscribing to the full commercial-free podcast. There are other benefits, too. You'll get the same stories I get every night from my producer. It's like having your own personal news digest. And you'll have access to my most interesting emails and responses. Go to PragerTopia.com for all the details. That's PragerTopia.com. Or just click on the PragerTopia banner on my website, DennisPrager.com. Thank you.